As most of you are aware, this is the special service. Brothers Steve DeVera and Bill Lightsinger are very close to going to India. In a few hours, they'll probably be leaving. So this is a special service that the body can come together and show them their support, and we'll have a special setting apart for each one of those gentlemen. I've chosen for a scripture from section 83, 10a. Therefore go ye into all the world, and whatsoever place ye cannot go into, ye shall send, that the testimony may go from you into all the world, unto every creature. Let's continue with 450. Steve DeVera, dear Father, we know that the love that they have for you. We've heard them talk many times of how they would take a bullet for each other. And we would humbly pray this morning that during this special service that you will pour out your blessings upon them, that you will protect them as they make this journey, that this work will go around the whole world, that your kingdom will come in power and glory, and that we might be allowed to be a part of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
The 10th chapter of the book of Luke begins with this account. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. And he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip, nor shoes, nor salute any man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. Prior to coming to the Latter-day Restoration, prior to the coming of the Latter-day Restoration movement, many, many people recognized the need for a restoration of the true church with its original doctrines and principles and a divinely appointed ministry. The original church established by Jesus had been lost. Men were no longer called by revelation, but were chosen through human incantations and schooled in dogmas reflective of the authorizing sect. Such methodology in choosing men to act in the name of God was, and still is, a violation of Scripture and a flagrant disregard for the laws instituted in the beginning by our Heavenly Father. Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and many, many others were called by direct revelation and sent out with authorization from God to act in His name. Jesus reinstituted this procedure and so informed His apostles with these words recorded by John. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Only God can name those who have a right to go forth in his name. In Hebrews, the Apostle Paul recorded, And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. In accord with this holy law, the Spirit directed the calls and ordinations of apostles in the New Testament church. It's recorded in the 13th chapter of Acts. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. The ministerial office referenced in ancient days was termed the priesthood and has two great heads, the greater or Melchizedek priesthood and the lesser or Aaronic priesthood. By divine action, and I want to emphasize the act of divinity being a full participant in that action, these priesthoods were restored through the prophetic ministry of Joseph Smith Jr. It is unfortunate that we have passed through a time in the history of the restored church in which the calling of men was not by revelation, but by the whim and contortions of men. However, in these latter days, the ship has righted itself not by our doing, but by God's guidance, and once again, by revelation men are called to high office to declare his word to the world in conformance with law. Missionaries have been called and appointed to go forth and preach to the lost tribes of the house of Israel. What should they teach and preach? Since I had the opportunity to speak to a couple of 70, I thought I'd take that opportunity and give them some direction. The purpose of God, as identified in the Doctrine and Covenants, is, "For this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man." The church has a significant role in this responsibility or act. The church itself has two purposes, as identified in the priesthood manual published in 1934, that are subordinate to God's purposes. The first, to preach the gospel in all the world, and the second, to build the kingdom of God. These purposes are complementary. If you are engaged in one, you are participating in the other. If one is accomplished or completed, then the achievement of the other will be assured. Every missionary should carry in his heart the ideal of Zion, seeking to win men and women to Christ that they may build up the kingdom. And every Zion builder should have the love of the unconverted in his heart, that for Zion must become a great ensign to attract the nations of the world to Jesus. The Joint Conference of Restoration Branches, recognizing these goals, adopted a resolution November 11, 2005, at our first conference, as the duty of the saints and the priesthood. It reads like this: "Resolved that it is the duty of the saints to turn their hearts and their faces toward Zion and supplicate the Lord for such deliverance. And it is the duty of the elders, priests, teachers, and deacons of the church to cry repentance and remission of sins to this generation through obedience to the gospel as revealed in the Holy Scriptures, the inspired version, the Book of Mormon, and the Doctrine and Covenants, and not to faint in the discharge of their duty." These themes were reiterated in 2007 by the adoption of a resolution proposed by the Succession Committee. They used this terminology: "Resolved that the Joint Conference of Restoration Branches work together to fulfill the mission of the original church, which is to seek to bring forth and establish Zion and to gather the remnants of Israel to the lands of their inheritance by preaching the restored gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, especially among the Lamanite descendants." I'm going to propose that there are three elements critical to the accomplishment of these purposes, and they are, first, an extensive priesthood of devoted, qualified, and active men constantly exercising a spiritual ministry in which God is actually revealed and through which his purposes are actively defined. Second, a converted, informed, and growing church membership, which calls every member to the work of winning others to the Christ and his church, to building up the kingdom in his or her realm of influence, and to carrying his or her part in the total financial burden. And third, active branches and districts built up to a point of numerical and spiritual strength, where they will not become subject to the temporary fluctuations of economic or other adverse conditions. These three elements, emphasized, will encourage the establishment of Zion and the proselyting of the gospel to the world. The General Conference adopted a resolution unanimously on April the 12th, 1932. I know you've all read it. Well, maybe not. GCR 918 identified the teaching objectives of the church and requested that all church representatives give special emphasis thereto. I'd like to identify those for you and for our 70 who are going abroad. First, the message of the Restoration, with its distinctive features, including such principles of belief as outlined in the official statement of belief and epitome of faith and doctrines, and belief and practice, with especial emphasis upon such features as continued revelation, divinely authorized priesthood, the Book of Mormon, and the divine mission of the church. In the teaching of this distinctive message, not only the application of, but the authority for, the same should be sought in life. The message of the restored gospel must not only be expressed in individual and social living, but find its essential truth in the nature of life itself. The gospel way is the way of life. This distinctive message should be recognized as a direct challenge to the paganism in the present social order. By the way, that was 1932 that this was written. We should therefore fearlessly proclaim the ethics of Christ, set up his standards of value, and conduct the sinfulness of in conduct, the sinfulness of sin and godlessness of many institutions and practices. Secondly, in our teaching, the major objectives of the church should always be brought into clear perspective: the evangelizing of the world and the establishment of Zion. Third, the heart of this gospel message is in true human and divine relationships and is found in the doctrine of stewardships. Fourth, the law of temporalities should be stressed kindly and firmly without equivocation or apology and is impartial in application. Fifth, we suggest an affirmative spiritual ministry to the saints, including the urging of individual and family devotion, the study of the Word of God, especially as found in the Bible, Book of Mormon, and Doctrine and Covenants, intelligent and regular reading of the church periodicals, regular attendance at church services, intelligent, alert, and efficient participation in the work of the church, and finally, financial support of the church through wholehearted compliance with the financial law and godly walk and conversation. Sixth, The distinctive message of the church is for all. Wisdom should be exercised in the presentation of these principles so that such will be adapted to the age, capacity, and needs of the particular group to which the teacher is endeavoring to minister. The varying needs and capacities of such groups as non-members, adults, parents, young people, children, to be clearly recognized in our teaching procedure. And seventh, this distinctive message should be made to saturate the literature of the church, as well as being the keynote of our preaching. The various church periodicals, including the quarterlies, should present the same message, varied only as editors and writers seek to adapt their material to the conditions mentioned in number 6. We are sending forth two of our own this day to bear the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, of His gospel, and the distinctives of the restoration movement to the world. Steve and William, you have been called to this day for this special purpose, to preach and teach the true gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost tribes of the house of Israel, to call all men to repentance and baptism in His name, and to build up the kingdom of God through the establishment of branches and districts. Your heritage as sons of Abraham and Joseph provide you with a special promise of success. The power of God shall be with you, and the name of Jesus Christ shall protect you from all adversaries. Go with God, and may He speed your journey. Thank you.
To say a few words about our trip. I've never done this before. I've been doing this since 1984, and I've never gone through this process, so this is all new to me, just like it is new to some of you. One of the things that you need to understand, I start psyching myself for a journey like this days ahead, because we leave here at 2:00 this afternoon, and we get into Bishop Putnam tomorrow at about 9:00 in the morning. So it's a long journey. Our objectives on this particular trip are several. Actually, they've mushroomed since we started the planning for this. Originally, we weren't going to go over again until October, and we were going to make it a 2-month trip. But there are some cultural issues that we didn't take into account. And one of them is that the people in these parts of India that we're going feel that they need to have a dedication service from and participate from the states to be participatory in these dedication services as soon as practicable, and that happened to be July of this year. So Brother Bill and myself will be going over for that purpose, to have dedication services in two parts of India. Also, because of the situation that the church has been in India over the last several years, there haven't been a lot of priesthood calls, and there will be 20, at last count, 24 ordinations while we're there, and we're also going to be doing priesthood training for these 24 new ordinances as well as those that have already been ordained in the past. And part of the process and the ordinations, once the ordinations take place, there are several areas that will be organized as branches now that they'll have priesthood members in the branch. They have membership in the priesthood, and that'll take some of the pressure off of these other men who have been trekking through the jungles every week to provide ministry, priesthood ministry, to these congregations. So our task is, I think, in the big picture, minimal, but it's something that needs to be done. So if you're curious about the participation, we're told that at the one dedication service up in the north tribal areas, they're anticipating about 3,000 tribal members to show up for this, our church members, I should say. And in the central part where we're going, they're figuring between 2,000 and 2,500. Part of that's short notice, and so I've never seen those kinds of numbers come out of anywhere, you know, when we've gone to do a dedication service. So I'm pretty excited about it. Just ask that you continue praying that our journey be successful and that the Lord blesses the ministry.
This time, if 70 Bill Lightsinger would come up and take the chair, we'll have the setting apart by Elder Rudy Lightsinger and 70 George Thomas.
Almighty God and eternal Heavenly Father, we're grateful this day for the opportunity that we have to participate in this grand and glorious work which has been restored for the benefit of all mankind. And at this time, in accordance with Thy commandments and the deliberations of Thy Spirit, we set apart this our brother and pray that Thy Spirit might fall upon him in continued grace and glory. We pray that those things which he faces and endures shall be in thy hand, and that all things that are done shall carry the distinctive message of thy Son and the testimony and witness of him. We place him in thy care and keeping as a servant of thine and a son of Abraham who has a right to call upon thee for the benefits and blessings thereby. We pray that through his ministry, all the people that he encounters may be blessed, and that truly he will return to us to bear witness of thy goodness and grandeur and glory in these latter days. Keep him safe, keep him secure, and assure him that those things which are accomplished will be done with the desire to complete the task of building up thy church and establishing thy kingdom of Zion, and that those to whom he goes as children of thine will receive blessing and ministry through his efforts. Open his mouth, clear his mind, that all things may be accomplished in accordance with thy will and way. We pray these blessings upon him in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Now I have a setting apart of 70 Steve DeVera by 70 George Thomas and 70 George Member.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, as we lay our hands upon Steve's head at this time, you know him as a son, as your son. You know his heart's desire to share your gospel throughout the world. Father, I would ask a special blessing upon him as he sets out on this journey to be your servant. You already know those who he's going to sit in the aircraft with. Those things that are going to happen as they travel throughout the different roads and the different modes of transportation. I ask that through your love and through your mercy that you would bless him. Give him the strength to make this journey. I know so many times you get really tired and thirsty. Father, bless him with the words to speak and that he might hear your nudging from time to time and inspire his mind and give him the words to speak. Help him with the different languages that he will be with, Father. You know the ripple effect of this particular journey, Father. We just ask that you would grant a special blessing upon him to respond to the dictates of your Spirit. We ask that you would bless him mentally and physically and spiritually, that all things will be done in the proper way, that in the end, Father, you would say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Now, Father, I ask this now in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before we close with our closing hymn, I want to ask Brother Rex Curtis if he would come up and offer a special prayer for the families of these two men.
Our God and our Father, in the precious name of thy Son Jesus, as we approach thy throne, we do so humbly, Father, recognizing thy majesty and all thy power and thy greatness and the love that thou dost send forth even through thy Son. And Father, as we approach thy throne of grace this day, we come to seek a blessing for the families of my brothers who would travel, that indeed as their husbands and fathers are away from them, they might feel the very touch of your hand upon them, just as if Steve or Bill were there in their presence, that they might have the comfort and peace of knowing that thou art with them, not only them, but with Steve and Bill, that no harm nor danger might fall upon them, and that their families, these families, Father, they would be taken care of and watched over, nurtured by the saints here, and always find themselves within thine hand. May there be a daily testimony that thou art with them. They might recognize it, Father, and that they might even testify again of the goodness that you shed forth upon your people. Truly, these are trying times for all, and they become more difficult when the heads of the home are gone. And so we would pray that as thou art head of each home, thou might bless each home with that extra portion of the presence of thy Son, that it might be made manifest in their lives. Grant them this peace and comfort, Father, we do pray. And until the safe arrival home from Steve and Bill, that they might feel and sense your Spirit with them. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In closing, closing, we'll sing Shout the Tidings of Salvation, hymn number 445.
Father in heaven, we are so grateful for this restored gospel and for the opportunities we have to serve, whether we are here or abroad. Father, this day we have set two men apart. Father, when I went to Nigeria, I was set apart. And Father, I know the power of your Spirit that rested upon us and guided us to make decisions that we never would have made on our own. So we humbly pray this day, Father, that while there are those who travel, we know that you have called us all to the work. If we don't go, that we are to financially send. And I pray, Father, that there will always be those means available financially, that we can go wherever you call us to go. Father, I know that as Peter was imprisoned by Herod, and that the saints prayed fervently for him, and that you sent an angel to release him and break the bonds and chains upon him and saved him from Herod. Father, I know that there's that power that can protect and guide. And I pray for not only your protection of those who travel, but may they also have the security that their families are blessed and protected. Father, help each of us to recognize how powerful your Spirit is and how important it is that we so live our lives that we can be worthy of your blessings. Bless us then, Father, as we seek to serve you. And may the power of your Spirit rest upon Brother Bill and Steve as they travel abroad. May they be able to not only be safe, but be directed to those who are searching and seeking for this gospel and for truth. Father, may thy kingdom come. May thy will be done upon this earth as it is in heaven. It is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Where are you doing?
How's it going?
You're doing a good job on the secretarial thing.